Chapter 4 in the book of Micah. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. If I say some things that you don't understand or don't agree with, don't be too hasty to draw opinions, because remember, we're living in a very strange age, in a very strange time. And it's better to really think the thing out, get your Bibles, read your Bibles, talk to God, and just ask the Lord what's going on, because it might be the very thing that you need to make it over. So I think we'll start in chapter 3 of Micah at the first verse. That'll give us a good bit of reading here. Chapter 3, the book of Micah, the first verse. And I said, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, that even they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye head of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the houses as the high places of the forest. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let her eyes look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thrash, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Here in the fourth chapter, the first verse, the thought is used. He said, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain or the house of the Lord shall be established. You know, that is a wonderful thought to me, to know that God is once and for all going to establish the house of God. You know, it was with Jerusalem that every time the walls were built, that the enemy always came in and they would tear down the walls. And eventually the entire city was plowed as a field in the days when Titus came in. But God promised one day to build those walls back, and that never again would those walls be torn down. And so has God given a promise to Zion that someday, saith the Lord, I will establish the house of God, and I will cause all nations to flow unto the house of God. All nations shall say, let us go up to the house of God, for we have forgotten our God. Let us go up to the house of the Lord, and he will teach us of his ways. I long to see the day. I long to see the time when everybody will become God-minded. I long to see the hour when people will forget about the frivolous things of the world and the beggarly elements of the world. And when the great enticement of those things that are tangible will lose their strength and their appeal to mankind. I long for the moment when the great wonderful things of God will be so bright and so brilliant that men and women alike will suddenly realize the importance of the things of God and of the knowledge of God, and they'll want to understand the ways of God. Oh, beloved friend, today as we gather here together in this evening service, you can't imagine, unless you're spiritual, unless you've been in touch with God, unless you've heard from heaven, you can't begin to imagine what is taking place and what this hour, what this time element means. You can't imagine what God is doing and what this 4th of July has to do with unless you are a spiritual people. You know, the Bible speaks of the coming of the Lord, and the Bible tells us that as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. All of them that dwell upon the earth, as a snare shall it come upon all of them. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how intelligent we are. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. It doesn't matter how much we plan for the future, what we have in this world. The Bible teaches that the day of the Lord shall come as a snare upon all of them that dwell upon the earth. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating and they were drinking, and they knew not until the very hour that God came with the flood, and they all were taken away. Oh, let me tell you, we are living in the very moment of crisis. We're living in the hour when something is about to happen, such as has never happened in the history of the world. This very 4th of July, and I say this, when I say it, I know that it's not going to register to some of you. I know that some of you are not going to believe it, but it doesn't matter. I love you just the same. The Lord loves you. But I want you to know something. This very day has to do with the closing of the Gentile age. This very day, this 4th of July, we're gathered here for the purpose of a great spiritual significance concerning the end time and the last days and what God is doing to establish the house of the Lord. This very day has to do with the end of the Gentile age. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean, the end of the Gentile age? Just as it was in the days of the Jews. You remember when the days of the Jews were over? They nailed their Messiah to the tree. They crucified Jesus. They did not realize what they had done. They didn't understand. When Pilate said, "Will you crucify your king?" they said, "He's not our king." But yet they crucified the only one that could have done them any good. They did not know what they had done. They didn't think that they had done any terrible thing. They thought they'd put a man to death that should have been put to death. But all of a sudden, when the crisis began to come upon them, they began to realize that it wasn't as the former days. When their enemies began to rise up against them, they suddenly, as Samson, they began to look for their strength. And they couldn't find it. It wasn't there anymore. In the days that had gone by, all they had to do was call upon God. And God had heard them because they had followed Moses. All they had to do was call upon God, and God would overcome their enemies. Whereas the Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. And they had followed Moses, and God had had mercy upon them. But brother and sister, when they crucified Jesus, they had failed to realize that the prophet that Moses spoke of had come down in their midst, and they had done to him whatsoever they listed. And all of a sudden, they began to realize what they had done. They had crucified the very Christ himself, the very Savior of the world. They had done away with the very Savior. And there they began to call upon God, but they didn't get an answer. Their enemy came in on them. Titus plowed the city like a field. The streets were filled with blood. Their enemies began to overcome them. And then they began to realize what the Messiah had said, and they knew then what had happened. And suddenly they realize the terror of what had taken place. When Jesus had stood there and said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen with her brood, but ye would not." Now then he said, "Your houses are left unto you desolate until the day that you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then they begin to realize what was meant by that statement. They begin to realize why the tears had streamed down Jesus' face. When they closed in and all of the deaths and the sorrow, the heartaches and the turmoil began to strike. And they found themselves without strength to prevail. And they found themselves in the power and the clutches of their enemy. Then they knew what they had done. Beloved friend, America is standing in the very same place today. I know that you could never believe this. But this very day that we're in, this very 4th of July, this very day that we're in right here, this day marks the closing of the door to the Gentile people. You say, "But Brother Pike, there's revival everywhere. There's preaching everywhere." You remember when they crucified Jesus, things continued just the same. And the Bible said, "As a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. Things shall continue on. They shall eat. They shall drink. They shall have a good time. They shall make merry." And the Bible said they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? The Bible said all flesh had corrupted its way before God. I think we can say today that all flesh has corrupted its way before God. I don't know of any flesh in the world but what has corrupted its way before God. We've been as far as the land of the midnight sun, Norway, down into South America, over into Palestine, into the islands. Everywhere we go, sin is raging. People, sin having taken the people. People having given themselves to sin. It's at an all-time high everywhere. The flesh is on display everywhere. It's a great day of human exhibit so far as flesh and lust is concerned. It's that hour. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. And there is none that is left except those that are covered by the blood. And those that Christ has kept clean by his Spirit. That's all that there is. And the Bible said, lest God should shorten the days for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. So then, brother and sister, we're living in the day when the time of the Gentiles is coming to a close. We're living in the hour when all of the mercies of God are about to be lifted from the earth. When that angel walked over to the that little golden altar, took that censer in his hand. He took that little coal from that golden altar. He dropped it into that censer according to the writings of Revelation. The Bible said this little censer was cast into the earth. About that time, 30 minutes of silence was in heaven. Everybody stood in awe. Why? Because they knew that the hour was there when the blood was coming off of the mercy seat. All of a sudden, that blood that had been on the mercy seat all of these years was fixing to come off. And people suddenly realized, everybody, angels, everybody that beheld this thing according to the writings, suddenly realized that it was over. And the Bible said the angel took the censer and he hurled it into the earth. And when it came into the earth, there was thunderings and there was lightnings and there was earthquakes. And all these great things begin to take place. And such a great devastating blow struck the earth as the censer came down. What was it? It was the end of the Gentile age. When the Jews suddenly awoke to the fact that their enemies were prevailing against them. It was at that moment that they knew what they had done. And my brother and sister, though today marks the closing of the door to the Gentile church, the people are not going to recognize it. They're not going to believe it. They're not going to understand it. But I want you to know, all of a sudden they're going to discover it. They're going to see that the rest of the world is not afraid of America anymore. They're going to see that America can't prevail over her enemy anymore. They're going to see that as God withdraws from America, that she doesn't have the strength and the power to stand up the way that she has in the past. The Bible teaches that righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And because America has sinned away her days of grace, because she has forsaken God, she's in trouble. The Bible teaches that my people have committed two sins. They have hewn them out cisterns, even broken cisterns that won't hold water. And they have forsaken God, even the living God. Therefore, because America has done the way that she's done, she has caused the wrath of God to come upon her. And she's going to find out that she cannot stand before her enemy. She's not going to be able to stand up against the crushing blows. And they're going to find out that those that one time was afraid to attack her are not going to be afraid anymore. And she's going to find out her courage that was in her soldiers and in her military might is going to wilt. And they're going to stand there helpless before their enemy. All because God isn't with them anymore. Brother, at the same time, you're going to see Israel as Israel takes courage. You're going to see a little nation that's been cowered down. A little nation that could not stand. You're going to see Israel, one that could not take its part. All of a sudden, Israel is going to stand. And Israel's going to come bold like a lion. And Israel's going to come courageous. Why? because they're going to perceive that God is with them again. God is turning away from the Gentile church, and God is turning back to the Jewish people the same way that he turned away from the Jewish people to turn to the Gentile people. Oh, beloved friend, God has given many years for you to repent of your sins. God has given many years for you to call upon the name of Jesus. And God has given many years for you to serve him in the beauty of holiness and in the royalty of righteousness. But you frowned upon God and you've done, as the world says, your own thing. You've gone your own way and you have forsaken the living God. You've done the things that you wanted to do. You've decided your own destiny. And now you find yourself in a bad circumstance. You say, Brother Pike, can all of these things be true that you're speaking of? The Bible said in the last days the house of the Lord would be established. You say, well, Brother Pike, if that's right, then how can all of these things be? Is not America the house of God? I want you to know that when God speaks of the house of God, he said all nations would flow unto it. America will flow unto it. Germany will flow unto it. Russia will flow unto it. Japan will flow unto it. All of the nations of the world will flow unto it. For God will bring that great establishment of the house of God, and he himself will sit upon the throne of Zion, and God himself will rule in righteousness. And all nations will say, we have forgotten our God. Let us go up unto the house of God and let him teach us of his ways. My beloved friend, today, according to what I understand, today has to do with the closing of the door to the Gentile people. You know, we teach the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't understand what the revelation of Jesus Christ is. But if you'll read over in the New Testament, if you'll read the books that John had to do with, John the Revelator, you'll find in the beginning of it, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which shortly must come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel to his servant. Therefore, when we speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ, it means that we have talked with God, understood God in a present hour, a present truth, walking in the Spirit, that we might communicate with God, that we might hear from heaven, that we might understand what God is saying in this hour and what God has for the people of this hour. And brother, sister, we have watched for many years, every step of it precisely. We have watched it. We've watched the international affairs. It has came to pass just exactly the way that God told me that it would come to pass. We have watched the great ministers. They have done just exactly what we said that they would do. We have made predictions, many multiplied predictions, concerning national and international figures and heads. We have spoke of great ministers, of their abilities and powers, and the termination of their offices and what would happen to them. It has happened exactly like God said that it would happen. And the Lord has showed precisely locally. He has shown it abroad. He has shown it nationally. He has shown it internationally as what is happening to mankind. And I want you to know that today marks the day of the closing of the Gentile church. Today marks the closing of the door to the Gentile people. And their day is just about over and gone. And God has at last drawn a line on the Gentile people. God has given revival throughout the world. Whereas the Bible teaches that when the gospel is preached in all the world for witness, then shall the end come. And brothers and sisters, this gospel of the kingdom that started with John, the law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom has been preached, this gospel has pressed its way into practically every corner of the world. It is constantly moved to every corner of the earth and teeming multitudes, millions of people everywhere by the preaching of the word. And God is getting ready to lift the Jew up. And I made a prediction that this year that God would begin to draw the churches together, and those that are the elect of God, that God would bring his elect together. That God would actually bring his elect together and start preparing them this year for the rapture. And you know, one of the outstanding things that took place this year Never before has it taken place, but this year it took place, and that is the Washington for Jesus meeting. Something like 200 or 300,000 people that gathered there at Washington. And there they came together, all kinds of ministers, all kinds of people that preached the gospel of Christ. Ministers that don't even agree in their doctrinal teachings. I said they'll come together. They've never come together before. There was ministers at the Washington for Jesus meeting that has never come together before. Never. But they came together this year. Brothers and sisters, they're going to come together. The people of God is going to come together this year. They're going to look for fellowship more and more, and they're going to come together this year. Why? Because the days of the Gentiles are at an end, and God is fixing together his elect from the four winds of the earth that he might translate them into the marvelous kingdom of God for this last great move in this last great moment. You know, the devil doesn't like the gospel, does he? He doesn't like the gospel. You know, you can tell by this fierce heat. You can tell what the devil is doing. You know, Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Isn't that right? And he'll do anything to interrupt the gospel. He'll do anything to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. But said the enemy comes to kill and destroy. And he does. He kills out life. He destroys virtue. He takes away everything precious that God has given to you. He's the prince of the powers of the air. Oh, that is, Satan is the ruler over the spiritual powers that's in the air, that's working in the minds of the children of disobedience, that takes them into captivity at his will. Satan is the prince over the powers of the air, such as the atomic particles, the atomic powers, the elements being on fire, Peter said. Satan is the ruler or the prince of this world. He's the ruler of those powers in the air. He causes the storms and the frictions. He causes the problems. He causes the commotions. He causes all of the confusions and the turmoils. While God sends peace and God sends rain and God sends sunshine and God sends blessings, yet the devil intervenes and causes all of the discomforts of life. But oh, hallelujah, when you've got Christ in your heart, it doesn't matter. When you've got Christ in your heart, you can continue on. People in the dark age died for the sake of Jesus, died for the name of Jesus. People in the dark age, men and women alike, laid down their lives for the name of Jesus Christ, gladly gave their lives so that they could have a better resurrection. And oh, it's a wonderful thing to know that this day, especially if you understand what I understand today, that you are in the kingdom of God. It's good to know that you've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And it's good to understand that at this hour, that at this moment, that God has a hold of you and you have a hold of God, and that you haven't been playing games with God, and that you've sincerely been in the presence of God and been on the mind of God and had God in your mind. I tell you again today that if you have not taken God into your heart in a real, genuine way, if you've not got acquainted with Christ in a real, genuine way, brothers and sisters, you need to get acquainted with him tonight. This evening, you need to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same to every generation. The invitation goes out to every generation that you can have an experience with God. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for his presence. I'm thankful that I'm here with Christ and his people tonight. I'm thankful to be part of his kingdom and of his great ministry and what he's doing in the earth today. I'm looking forward to doing something for Jesus as much as he will allow us to do from this point on. But knowing today what today represents, it means that whatever happens today from here on out is going to be among the church people. And you know, this dark hour of midnight, this dark hour of midnight is settling down upon the people. Folks, if there ever was an hour when you need to get down to business with God, you need to do it now. You need to do it now. You know, I would love to preach tonight. I'm just getting warmed up, as somebody said. Now, perhaps you've been warm all the time, but I'm just beginning to really get your minds to where we could get into the anointing and the Spirit of God and really drive some things home tonight. But I know that you're uncomfortable, and I know it's hot out there. I'm used to sweating and sweating and sweating and being wringing wet when I get through anyway. But I could really talk to you about Jesus tonight. But for your sake, I'm going to stop right here. But I want you to seriously consider what I'm saying. I want you to think it over. When I tell you the things that I tell you, it's not in a lighthearted manner. Today represents the closing of the door to the Gentile people. If you were spiritual, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. If you were spiritual tonight, and I had the time and you had the patience, I could tell you step by step how that it has come about and prove to your mind and your intelligence and program your mind step by step to where you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, would have to say it's absolutely a fact it's happened. But my brother, you'll just have to take my word for it. It's happened. It's happened. You that love Jesus, if you've ever done anything for God in your life, if you've ever put the world out of your mind and out of your life and out of your heart, if you've ever pushed everything aside that's like the world and broke fellowship with the company of the world and sought the real fellowship of God and His people and the right way of life, it's time to do it now or never. It's time to do it now or never. You say, well, Brother Pike, how will we know? Just as I said concerning the Jews, little by little, America is going to begin to realize that the great hand of God is lifting off of her and that she's not going to be able to prevail. Look at the mockery already that America has had concerning those things overseas where the hostages are held. No way have they been able to release those hostages. With all of their ability and their intelligence and their powers and their arms, all of their greatness, geniuses among them, not one has been able to come up with the answer of how to overcome what appears to be a madman and get a few hostages out of his hand. Nobody has been able to do it. Why is that? God has always hoped us to do it before, but not now. Why is it that no one has been able to do it? Why is it that when Jimmy had what appeared to be a foolproof plan, that God allowed the sandstorms to tear up the planes and interfere with the mechanism to where it failed through? Why did that happen? God allowed it to happen. My brother, sister, remember one thing. When your ways please God, God maketh thine enemies to be at peace with you. But in the day of adversity, consider your ways, the prophet said. For if your ways please God. We need to consider our ways in America today. We need to turn back to God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, mind, body, and strength. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your patience tonight. It's been hard. It's been tiring to you. I know that it has. I offer my apologies again for your inconvenience. But I know that Satan has especially brought in this hot spell to kill out and destroy and to interfere. But nevertheless, God has blessed us and God has helped us. God has stood by us. And I know not having the air conditions in here has made it worse on you. But there's one great advantage to this. When you leave the building, you'll be in better shape stepping outside than you would have been had you sat under an air conditioner and then went outside to have the radical change. So you're far better off physically, whether you realize it or not. The pores of your skin are open, and your body can breathe a lot better, and it can absorb what oxygen there is around you with great ease rather than a struggle. Whereas if you'd have closed it up with an air conditioner, you would have stepped right out and it would have been a struggle and been hard on your heart. You love Jesus? Here at Little Bethlehem, we talk about some things that sometimes is nothing less than fantastic to the listening ears of those that don't understand spiritual things. Tonight has been a real light thing in our statements, but sometimes things that we say are exceptionally strong and deep and hard to fathom. But if you're spiritual, you can grow up in God and you can get a hold of some things that you've never seen in all of your life. If you walk with Him, the Bible teaches if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the desire or the lust of the flesh. And I love to walk with Jesus. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. He was not, for God took him. For by faith he was translated. Can you just slip your hands up now? Just for a moment, slip your hands up. Let's love Jesus just for a moment. precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, as we lift our hands to heaven tonight, I thank you for these people. And I've seen Satan tonight, Lord, cause the heat to be so fierce. But oh God, I'm thankful for the Word of God that lets us know, Lord, that this fierce heat, Lord, is only a touch. Dear God, of what you said would happen in a short while, when the sun shall literally scorch the earth, and they that dwell on the earth, Lord, with air conditioning or whatever, will not be able to survive. For you said the earth will literally be scorched, and men would be scorched with heat from above. And Lord, scientists teaching that this will come about even as early as the year of 82. Oh God, it makes us to realize that something is already taking place with the quakes, Lord, that's sweeping across California and different parts of the world. And dear God, with the eruption of the volcano, oh dear wonderful God, that's caused this great heat wave perhaps to take place. And dear God, Lord, with these other things taking place, we know that the end of the Gentile age is here. And we know that the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God is upon them that have been so careless. And Lord, you've brought it to pass in that you said the last age, Father, would be a sinful and adulterous generation. Lord, a generation that's filled with dope and filled with unconcern. A generation that curses mother and father. And oh Lord, this last generation, Father, of intermarriages, continually transgressing the word of the Almighty God. And Heavenly Father, this last generation, Father, even the church generation, Lord, saying that they're rich, having need of nothing, not knowing, Father, that they're wretched, that they're naked, that they're blind, and oh God, that they have nothing to offer in exchange for their soul. I ask thee, Heavenly Father, right this moment, God, to consider me and consider these people. May the great Spirit of God sweep over them. Lord, as we stand here tonight, may it be so, even so. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus or two together. We're going to try to do something about the heat. It's a lot hotter tonight than we had expected it to be. We never expected it to be this bad. It cooled off, seemingly. It cooled off outside, but the heat has been fierce, and even more so up here under these lights. But we're going to see if we can do something about it between now and the next service, so we can have things cooled off to where it'll be comfortable. But I appreciate you that have endured the cross just a little bit, having a real desire to serve God, a real interest in Christ, being good listeners, not being concerned so much about the human flesh, but rather about Jesus. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul, for I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again, can you? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven. I'll rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Ain't you glad you're Christian? I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. They sang that song. I'm so glad that I can say that I'm one of them. While they're playing tonight, just for a moment, and we're going to let you go. Just for a moment. I want you to tarry with me just for a moment. Singing this little chorus. And as we tarry, just for a moment, I want you to step down here with us. Just for a moment. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. Can you come tonight? Can you sing it with me? When my Savior reached down for me. Oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, when my Savior, can you sing it? Reach down for me. Oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost, I was undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, Jesus is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached way down for me, hallelujah, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and I was undone without Jesus, without God. I was lost without the Father, without his Son. When he reached down for me, when God reached down for me, and God had to reach way down for me. You know, the Bible said, he that is forgiven much, he loveth much. And he had to reach way down for me. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the great Holy Spirit as he's moving. How do you feel the Holy Spirit here tonight? When my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached the way down for me, I was lost, I was undone without God or his son.
When he reached down his hand for me, oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing it with me? Just to help me with the trials I go through, though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. Do you feel like Jesus has touched you? I want you to slip your hands up. Can you slip your hands up? Just slip your hands up for a minute. I want to pray for you tonight. Now, I feel Jesus here tonight. I feel Jesus here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, ramando riando riando robo shida bariando robo sando riando romo shida bariando robo sando romanaya. Oh, la mandali andala baladi andala bo shando riando robo shando riando romo shaya. Oh, la mandali andala bolo shando riando romo shando riando romo sai. I feel the Holy Spirit here tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit here tonight. And the Bible said as Peter spoke to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling upon you tonight. I can feel his presence tonight. Hallelujah. As we talk about Jesus, I can feel the Holy Ghost falling upon the people tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel his presence. The glory of God I can feel tonight. I can feel God saving tonight. I can feel God forgiving tonight. I can feel God healing tonight. I feel God here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want God to heal you tonight, if you want God to forgive you tonight, if you want God to take away the evil out of your life tonight, take away the bondage of evil spirits that's troubling you tonight, God will break every yoke. The anointing will break the yoke. I feel the anointing tonight. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I feel that liberty tonight in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you worship Jesus tonight? Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you love him? Tell him if you love him tonight. The Bible said praise is becoming to the upright in heart. Hallelujah. Praise is becoming to you tonight. Saints of God, thou art the children of the Most High God tonight, the possessors of heaven and earth. You're the sons and daughters of the living God tonight. Can you say, I love Jesus? Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Do you love him tonight? Do you love him tonight? If you love him tonight, praise him tonight. Tell him you love him tonight. Lift up your hands tonight. Worship the Lord tonight. Tell Jesus that you love him tonight. How wonderful. How wonderful. Hallelujah. Can you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you love him tonight? Can you love Jesus tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Can you say Jesus? Hallelujah. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see coming to carry me home? It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Can you sing it again? Can you? Oh. Coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was that band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home.